Well, we thank God for that Daystar. May I say to us today, the Daystar is shining bright. The Daystar has lost none of his glory, none of his splendor, none of his beauty. There's no light has been diminished from the Daystar. The Daystar, Jesus Christ, is as great and beautiful and powerful, as holy, as able to save to the uttermost as he ever was. He's still the Christ. He's still the Daystar. Praise the Lord. And he's still shining out. I find the problem is people get in the shadows. They find places to hide from the light. But thank God, as many as who will let this Daystar shine upon them, he will make sons and daughters of the living God out of us. And he will put that joy in our heart. And he will put that life in our soul. And he will put our name in the book of life. God's people still shine forth. Lord, help us to be challenged to shine forth. That Daystar, Jesus Christ, shine out of us in our day-to-day living. Well, we do thank the Lord today for one thing we all share in common, and that's our mother. We all have a mother. Maybe some was not fortunate enough to know their mother, but we've all had what the Bible terms and what the world terms as a mother. And one of the things that made them a mother was you and me, children. Some ladies have not had children yet or don't have children. Well, officially, they're not a mother. The Bible has a lot to say about children. The Bible is especially interested in children. And Jesus himself is especially interested in children. Paul said that when Jesus Christ ascended up on high, he gave gifts to the children or to men. He gave us gifts all along the course of creation. And one of the greatest gifts that he gave man, and one that if we're not careful we'll overlook, children, listen real close now. Because you know what the Bible says that you are? The Bible said that you are a heritage or a gift from God. So the next time things get a little tense around your house, you remember that God said you were a part of his heritage. God takes special interest in things that belong to him. The holy things of the tabernacle and the temple, they may have looked like a golden cup, but they were sanctified and beautiful and special to God. And there was an old king, he met his demise because he profaned that which was holy. The Lord in his infinite wisdom gave children, parents, and specifically mothers. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord. They are his possession. They are his property. They are his inheritance. So we need to remember that has been committed to you and me something that belongs to God. And we're challenged with the great responsibility that we have. Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 14, suffer or permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. I want to talk some today about mothers, but I want to talk about children, just a few scriptures the Bible says about children. It said to permit them and don't forbid them. Don't stand in their way. I believe not only we can say here, and we can read a little later maybe, not only are we not to forbid them, but we are indeed to assist them in coming to God. There's a lot of important jobs in this world. But you know, the job, if you will, or the responsibility, maybe a better word, of telling someone, a little innocent child, about Jesus Christ, and about God, and about the love and the sacrifice he has for them, and showing that in that life that one leads, I would think that would be right there among the most responsible of all positions. Because the Lord himself said, don't forbid them. Don't prevent them. Don't be a hindrance. Well, it goes without saying, then we are to assist them. We are to say to the child, not only he can get on the Lord's knee, he's got that right, but also give him a boost up, or her a boost up, to sit on the Lord's knee. Over in Zechariah, I'd like to read a scripture in 8th chapter of Zechariah. And the first 5 verses. Again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous of Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. The things that the Lord owns, the things that are of His hand and His possessions, He has a great interest in them and a great zeal and a great jealousy for those things. Thus saith the Lord, I will return unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in hand for very age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. The Lord wants a safe habitation, and the Lord has created a safe habitation. The Lord has created the city of God, the New Jerusalem, the church of God. But I think what I read in this is that God is interested in safety and well-being inside that city. He's interested in men and women knowing how to conduct themselves, fathers being fathers, mothers being mothers, that the children can have the reassurance of they're safe, that they're protected there. That in the confines of where that authority is, and I'm going to bring it down a little from God, but it's God in us. That authority figure providing for them a safe habitation, where their squeals are squeals of joy, where there's an innocency that prevails not only their little mind, but the whole spectrum of their environment. God is looking for you and me in our homes, grandparents too, to create this environment of peace, an environment of safety, where the children can be innocent as God created them, where the children can be protected from the defilements and the ugliness that wants to creep in and possess them. The little children playing innocently in the streets, rejoicing that there's no thing around that's going to pollute that. I was interested, or it caught my eye. I don't know of any other place in the Bible, just right offhand, that it calls them boys and girls. I kind of like that thought. That's the way I grew up calling them, boys and girls. And God wants you and me to recognize today His interest in boys and girls. He really cares about them. He's really interested in them. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 2:1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Sister Connie had a Bible lesson here a month or so ago about teaching one another. And she mentioned something about the first recollection we heard of the Lord. And she was emphasizing how there's teachers and we need teachers in life. And someone to introduce us to ideas and thoughts and to God. And I thought about that this morning, last night. Probably our first memory of God came from our mother. Now, granted it could be the father. But in the confines of what God created, He wanted me and you to introduce these precious children, the little boys and the little girls, to Jesus Christ. He put that in them to want to be innocent, enjoy life, and Lord help us to remember that probably the first instance we heard about God, I'll say from our parents, but it was probably statistically from our mother that we heard that. And that's the way it ought to be. From the confines of a safe and a pure environment, to let the children know you abide here safely because one greater than mom and dad loves you and cares about you and is interested in your life, and they want you to be happy. They want your innocency to remain intact. They don't want you defiled by that which would creep in and destroy. So in our remembering today, our Creator in the days of our youth, let's remember that it probably came through a parent. And now to you that are parents, to you that are would-be someday parents, and to us as grandparents, let's remember to help our children remember, to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Because all too soon, they're going to be gone from us, literally from the house. All too soon, they'll be on their own, figuratively speaking. All too soon, they'll have charges of their own. And then we'll look back and say, did I do enough? Or I didn't do enough? Lord, help us today as those that have the power and the authority in the little one's life to permit them to come to Jesus Christ, not only by the words we speak, but the life we live. Provide for them the safe, beautiful home where figuratively the children can run and play, the boys and girls can play in the street. Folks, a child can't do that on their own. A child has no power to create that environment. A child has no way to create for themselves a safety. There's not a baby that was ever born at 6 months old could go into the refrigerator and fix itself a bottle. There's no way for that to happen. So the responsibility falls directly on the parent, on moms today. Moms, consecrate your heart and your mind and your soul to Jesus Christ and find that and create that safe haven where the children can grow and grow into something, if you excuse this word, that you'll be proud of someday. That you'll look on and say, that's my son. That's my daughter. And look how he's raising his family or her family. Look how they've taken responsible positions in society. Look how they are rocks and how they are pillars and how they can be depended on. You want that out of your children. Then let's create it for them. Let's show it to them and present it to them. They're not going to remember their Creator on their own. They're going to have to be told about their Creator. Train up a child in the way he should go. Again, the responsibility. The Lord gave gifts, and the Lord gave responsibilities. It's not a part-time job. It's a full-time job. It's a time that you and me must take with the utmost of caution, the utmost of seriousness, to realize that we are to train a child in the way they're to go. Wow. Think of that responsibility, folks. You know, that should make us shudder and make us tremble that I'm pointing that child in a direction. I'm telling them to go that way. What if I told them wrong? Should that not keep us on our knees? Should that not keep us in the Word of God? Should that not bring a husband and wife closer together? We've got this in our hands and we're telling it to go. Let's tell it to go the same direction. Let's tell it in unison. Oh, today, parents, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your spirit. Father, if you're not where you're supposed to be, get saved and get there. Mom, if you're not where you ought to be, get to where you ought to be. If your home is divided, go to work and make it one in Christ. Because you're going to tell a child, this is the way. Walk ye in it. It's quite a responsibility, really. One time, years ago, I was saved by a year, I'll say, or less. And we were going down the road, going to church, as a matter of fact, there in Shreveport. And my boys could sing. Craig could read. And so they was going down the road, and they were singing From Death to Life, I believe. And the Lord spoke to me, and it was thrilling my soul to hear Him, you know. And the Lord spoke to me, and He said, Stanley, that's the Lord. He said, you almost threw that away. I said, Lord, you know, by that time, big old tears was over here. I said, Lord, was it that close? He said, it was just that close. We have this moment, the songwriter said, to hold in our hands. But it goes right on through like sand. And yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment. Oh, parents, parents, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. The charge you have goes, the charge we have goes beyond estimate. We cannot even try to explain it. Ephesians 6, I'm not turning to these, you know most of them. 6 and 4 of Ephesians says to bring up a child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. To do that, we've got to know what God says. If we get anything out of this message today too, it's a responsibility that a mother has of knowing the Lord for herself. You know, I don't question a mother's love. I believe if a mother has her right mind, not strung out on drugs or something, there's some type of mental illness, derangement, that causes a mother to do less than love her child. I know they're responsible, but a mother that would harm her child deliberately, folks, we need to pity that woman, deplore the sin, but something's not right there. Something's just not right. It's in a mother to love. It's in a mother to protect. It's in a mother to shelter. It's there. God put it there. Well, you live in a world that came along after Adam and Eve that wanted to change that, wanted to take things out of their place, wanted to make things different, wanted to modernize, wanted to take responsibility and spread it abroad or just say, I'm not responsible at all. But I am glad God put something in a mother. And He didn't put it in a daddy. Not entirely. No, He didn't. There's a difference in a mama's love and a daddy's love. Now, you'll probably disagree, some of you. They have different dimensions. They have different ways of expression. They have different forms of sacrifice. A mama's, mother's love is unique in all of the kingdom of the world. Nothing like a mother's love. We need to ask God's not only for that love, but we need to ask Him to direct that love and to possess that love, to own that love, that we may minister. How do we teach? We know we teach by rote. We teach by reading. We teach by speaking. And we teach by example. This morning, I know you love your children. And I would say to the people that's here today, I believe we're endeavoring to say the right things to our children. I have that confidence in you today that's here. And I believe you're teaching your children right from wrong. And honesty is a virtue. And you're telling them in words. You're telling them in little sayings, maybe on the refrigerator. But you know, teaching has another dimension. And children can pick up on it quick. And that's by example. You know, how much do we love our child? Are we willing to change our... Now, salvation is not contingent on me loving my child in the sense that I got saved. But do we love our child enough to let that be part of the things I count up when I count the cost? Do we love our children enough to change our ways? Do we take the responsibility that's been laid on us by decree of God and recognize the seriousness of the importance of it and to know that my words are great, and I need and you need, we need to express the ways of the Lord and read the Bible stories, teach them right from wrong. But do we see this morning the other dimension of it, that by a godly example, mothers and fathers living a godly example, I believe that is as much of the victory as the applying oneself to the Scriptures, of teaching the children the Scriptures. Do we love our children enough? Do we love what God asks us? Do we take it serious enough to amend our habits? I want to tell you, Mom, if a big old dog got out there on your child, you'd be right there in the middle of that dog. You would. There's a big old devil out there. And he's waiting everywhere to get your child and my grandchild. Do we love them enough to fight the devil? Do we love them enough to change our ways? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. We want to prepare our children to be responsible. We want to raise our children to pay their debts, have a good home. We want to raise them to take their place in society and not be a weight on a society, but a contributor. We want to raise them to be happy in life and teach them how to make good choices. I want to tell you where it starts, and you know this. I'm saying things you already know. We teach them by letting them know it can be done. To try to teach someone something and then say, but, you know, I don't do that, kind of takes away from the validity of it a little bit, doesn't it? How do we teach? And who do we teach? Listen over here in Isaiah a moment. And sometimes, and this does not fall entirely on the mother, I know that, but who's with the child the most? Let's put it that way. Who gets to want to pull her hair out the most? You know? Who gets tried day in and day out the most? Let's just be honest and say probably the mother. Who gets to hear Johnny and Susie fuss over who gets to do what first? Or who did it last time? All this. Probably mother. Lord, help us to honor motherhood. But mothers, take it as the most solemn responsibility you will probably ever have. Over in Isaiah 28, 9 through 10. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand knowledge? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, for a little, here a little, and there a little. The Lord was getting a message to the children of Israel that's a little different than what I am talking about today. But the principle here is so true that we teach by precept. And it's not just one big speech that Mom gives and that's the end of it. But it's a precept upon precept. It's line upon line. It's today and tomorrow. A consistency. A consistency in the message. A consistency in what is being lived out. A consistency to make corrections as mom or the parent sees corrections. This word admonition of the Lord means to correct the child. To gently but firmly reprove the child. May I say, let's reprove ourselves also. Let's also correct our faults. Let's also do that. But thinking about line upon line, precept upon precept. Have you ever taught someone, especially a child, how to do something? And sometimes it's rather tedious. And sometimes it's rather hard to do because it's easier to do it yourself. Brother Madden told us a story one time, many years ago, And he said it this way. He said, that boy is going to come to you and want to drive that nail. And you know good and well he can't do it very well or if at all. And you're in a hurry. You want to get through the job. He said, give the boy the hammer and teach him how. Because he said, one of these days when you get old and not able to do it yourself and you're out there fumbling yourself, that boy is going to come by and say, here, Dad, give me the hammer and let me do that for you. And you'll be glad you took the time. It takes effort, folks, and we know this, to teach a school teacher. You tell them 2 + 2 = 4, and tomorrow they say it's 6, and you got to go back through the process again. Children require repetition. Children require being shown again. Children require being reminded. Children require being corrected. And I want to tell you something about that. For most of it, teaching line upon line, precept upon precept, not seeing a great big leaps and bounds of maturity, still seeing Johnny and Susie over there squabbling, still seeing one over there getting dirty and the other one, you know, just all these things children do, bless their hearts, I love them. Believe it or not, children, I was one myself one time. And you know, it gets kind of a harried situation, doesn't it? It gets just a little on the stressful side at times. And after a while, if we're not careful, it can become a boring experience. Because I did it yesterday, and they want a peanut butter and a sandwich again today. You know, and they're going to come to me with that complaint again. And they're going to have this situation. My husband, he got to go to work and figure out all the intricacies of life and how to make things better. And here I am with my little boy and my little girl, or maybe more than that, and one's tugging and one's nose is running, and you know, and I need to go shopping, and you know, mothers, you understand that better than I do. Then you got to be home by 3 because the bus lets children off of school. And just your time. And first thing you know, you get, or can get, I should say, just a little bit weary. Paul said it this way, and this is my message this morning to you mothers. Be not weary, Galatians 6 and 9. Be not weary in well doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I want to encourage you, moms. Don't faint. Don't get so weary that you feel like throwing in the towel. It's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be fun. Changing a dirty diaper wasn't meant to be fun, folks. Fulfilling. I'm not even sure it's supposed to be fulfilling, you know. It's just a job. It's just a job. It's just a responsibility a lot of the time. Most of it, every time. It's just something that has to be done. And you're going to change probably the bulk of it. You're going to fix the bulk of the dinners and the formulas. You're going to send them off to school with a little lunch pail, and you're going to be the last one they see. Bye, Mama. As you go out, they go out the door. So don't be weary today. Don't count it a thankless chore. Don't think it's something that God's not taking notice of. You remember Winston Churchill? Some of you remember him only as historical. Back in about 1941, I think before America got into the war, World War II, he gave a little short speech. And it's actually a little longer than this. And I looked it up to make sure. And it's probably a whole paragraph. 4, 5, 6 lines. But the bulk of it was this. He looked at them in the face of overwhelming odds. The German military machinery had taken over Europe except for England. Poland and the Baltics. Well, not the Baltics, but the Netherlands and all those other countries. France was fast becoming succumbing to them. Overwhelming odds. And Churchill said this in his speech. Never, never, never give up. never, never give up. I'd like to borrow that from him today and say, don't give up. Well, he may be a little trying. Well, he may be a little long. It seems like the odds are sometimes against you, but you remember that enemy out there wants death for your child. That enemy out there wants destruction for your child. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, a scripture worth noting, 2 Corinthians 4, because I want to tell you something. When you're tired, you want to drop your guards, you want to drop your hands, you want to question what's the use of it all. And I'm not saying that one of you have that tendency all the time, but the devil's out there. And children, they can be the absolute sweetest thing, and they can be the most nerve-wracking thing. I think you know what I mean. Sometimes, I remember my little boys, they'd go to bed at night, and one of them in particular, he slept so pretty. He did. He slept like a little angel. You'd think that's the way an angel sleeps. You know, he just had that poise. He just, you know, perfect. Asleep. And I'd challenge him sometimes, and he'd challenge me, and there we'd go. Had to do a little corporal punishment, maybe. I'd go in there a little later and watch him. And I'd think, how could I have ever been upset with that child? He's like a little angel. But then he got up the next morning. And he proved to be part-time angel. You know what I mean. It can be extremely stressful. And I'm not trying to make it harder than it is, but it can be stressful. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Mothers, a great ministry has been placed upon you. Heaven itself will probably tell the full story. Please, this morning, don't faint. Don't flag. Don't cave in and wave the flag. But fight the good fight of faith for yourself first, for your home, and for your child. You've received something from God that is one of the most precious things. And to God, it was most precious. He said, suffer them, permit them to come to me. Don't let your weariness stand in the way of your duty. Don't let the outside call of this world and the workforce cause you to be weary in your duty to your children and to your family. Don't let the needs that you perceive be greater than the needs you have to that child. Don't be weary when it looks like they'll never grow up. They will grow up. I tell people with teenagers, love you teenagers, but I was one of you too. The good news is about teenagers, sometimes they can cause a little bumping. You know, they're growing, they're stretching their arms, they're, I can do it myself. You know, it's childhood, young adulthood. But don't give up on them. They're going to try the range. They're going to see how far the tie goes. They're going to do that. Nothing really wrong with it within certain parameters. Don't give up on them. Just stay in there with them, because one of these days they're going to grow up and they'll be a fine young man, a fine young lady, and you'll be so glad you did. So stay in there with them. Encourage them. You've received a ministry. Let's not faint. We live in a world today, and I hope I can pronounce this word. Motherhood has, they've abdicated. I'm not going to try to say that word too many times. I never can get abdicated. They have relinquished. They have forfeited their role. And they have found their careers. They have found their other interest. They've relegated motherhood to someone else many times. They let other things do what God intended for them to do. Please, this morning, in your desire to do right, don't abdicate. Don't turn loose of your responsibility. Find time with God every day. And I'm not going to tell you when. Motherhood's too busy for me to tell you when. But find time with God. Confess your weakness. Confess your need. Confess your anxious moments. Confess your joy for that child that's been born in your life. And pray for God for wisdom. And may I say, pray for grace. Because you're going to need it. You're going to need that special touch from the hand of the Lord. Raising children, and you know this, takes a tremendous amount of energy. When you have children, you better get your mind off of yourself and what you want all the time. A selfish parent is not a very good parent. There's nothing any sweeter than a little child, but there's not much more selfish than a little child. They don't have concepts of you've got a bad headache and your back is hurting and you're home by yourself with the child, but the child wants to go out and play. They don't have any concept that you're, now I know as they get older they do, and you teach them those things. But all they want to know is they're hungry, they're thirsty, they want to argue a little bit. So don't be weary in well-doing. Because the Bible said you will indeed reap if you faint not. Paul wrote it this way, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Get a hold of that for yourself. Teach it to your children diligently. There's going to be pressures applied to you to feel inferior nowadays. Not pressure, it may be out there, but you hear about it and you sense it. If you're not careful, mothers, you might feel a little inferior. But I want you to remember something. And this is not just a romantic saying, it's the truth. You hold America in your hands. You hold America in your hands. What they learn from you is going to be a big influence, a major influence in the direction they take. Their sense of responsibility and integrity is going to come, big portions of it, from you. So the next time you feel inferior, you remember, America is in your hands. You may say, well, just one child. Oh, folks, there's more than one child. There's more than one mother. And if all the mothers of this land would sanctify the Lord God in their heart, if they would put God in His commandments and His responsibilities first, what a world, what an America we could have. If people really love God enough and love children enough to teach the children diligently, as He said over in Deuteronomy. What kind of world would we have today? What if mothers across the country of America would not abdicate? What if they would say, this is my place, this is my responsibility, and I am going to, by the grace of God, fulfill it? What do you think it'd be like? I think it'd be a lot better, to say the least. Mothers, you hold a future family in your home, in your hand. If you have a daughter, there's a husband out there that's sure going to be thankful if you taught your daughter right. If you have a son, there's going to be a daughter out there, a woman out there that's going to be mighty glad you taught that son right. Do you really understand the magnitude? Sometimes I think we forget because we get so busy doing it. But that you hold a future family in your hands. If you taught them right, there's a much better opportunity for them to take that teaching over into their home, into their life. Mothers, you hold something even more precious than a family. You hold a soul in your hands. Train up a child in the way it should go. That's going to take some diligence. It's going to take some strength. It's going to take character. It's going to take grace from God. It's going to take a selflessness. And I want to say this. There's a lot of selfless people, but there's nothing, no one as selfless as a mother. If I had a hat on, my hat would be off to you this morning because I've never seen anyone more selfless than a mother. And something else you hold in your hand, we spoke about it a little earlier, for a fleeting moment. And in my days, my age, if I could convey something to you as a parent today, this would be part of it. For a fleeting moment. And one day you're going to look back and it's gone. A fleeting moment. You held life in your hands. And after that, whatever was going to be taught, whatever was going to be instructed, is gone. Because they formed, they've matured, they've become the man, they've become the woman, they've become the parent. And now the time of your influence, oh, it's still there some, but it's greatly diminished. Because they're adults now. But for this fleeting moment of childhood and adolescence, you hold so much in your hands. Please, this morning, take it with the utmost of seriousness. This old world and this society, they're not able to raise your child. Believe it or not, the world doesn't even love your child. The schools, private, church, public, they cannot raise your child the way God wants them raised. They're a necessary thing, and I promote education. But don't depend on your child getting values from their school. You are their source of values. Hollywood and sports and neighbors and indifference cannot raise your child. I want to ask you a little question here. We'll try to bring this to a close. What do you remember? Answer this to yourself. What do you remember most about your mother? Think about it a moment. What do you remember, maybe three or four things. What do you remember most about your mother? What is proven in your life today to be helpful and important to you that you learn from your mother? Jotted down a few things here. You know, this world really has its value card upside down. And they've lost the values of Christ, and they've substituted it for the values of man. But did you know, if you ask a child or an adult what they remember most, they remember personal things. They remember security, things they value. They remember love and warmth and care and laughter. You know, parents this morning, mothers in particular, children don't need your money. They need you. Children don't need things. They need a mother. Children don't need a TV. They need a mother. You know, children, believe it or not, don't need a car. They need a mother. Children do not need the best of everything. They need a mother. Children are not in charge, nor are they capable of being in charge. They need a mother. Children are prey to the enemy of their soul, the devil. They need a mother. Children are going to be adults one day. They need a mother. Children are going to be expected to be contributors to society. Children need a mother. Mom, your children need you. Hold them. Teach them. Show them. Correct them. You know, children aren't perfect. Children need a mother. Children become afraid. They need a mother. Children need a holy example. They need godly mothers. You think about it. What do you remember about your mother? Folks, I was raised poor and didn't even know I was poor. Maybe the word's poor, but we said poor. And I didn't know it. There was laughter. There was food. There was instruction. There was whistling. It was just all, man, you know, never had a new car. Never had, you know. Didn't have all those things. In fact, we had old cars. But you know, I knew one thing. I was loved. And I knew if I skinned my knee, Mama was home. And I knew that if I acted bad, Mama was home. And I knew that if there was something I didn't understand, Mama was home. You know, that's the things I remember. I remember the boiled cabbage and butter in it. And that's what I remember. I don't remember whether we had this or that. I remember being loved. I remember being taught. My mother wasn't, quote unquote, Church of God as such. But you know, I knew the Bible stories. I knew who Abraham and Isaac were. I could tell you their lineage. I could quote a few scriptures. Had Egermeyer's storybook read to me. Those are the things we remember, see. Those are the things that we really draw on. You know, when the going gets rough, you know what I invariably will wind up doing? I'll go back to something I learned in my childhood and say, my mama used to say. You ever catch yourself doing that? It's impossible to try to say the authority that you have when you hold a child in your hands. So I would like to end this way. Pray for yourself in your position. Pray for it. Become acquainted with the Word of God for yourself and apply it to your home and to your responsibility. Pray for the grace that you will make a complete sacrifice. Don't withhold anything back. As much as important, and that's another sermon, we're counting on you, moms. We're counting on you. There's not many of you left out there that hasn't gone and let things happen in their lives that we don't want our children doing. Pray for yourself that God will give you the grace to change your habits if you need to. Change your disposition if need be. Get saved if that's what you really need. That God will help you to make a complete sacrifice. Because you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And we can't glorify God unless we fulfill the role God has assigned us. I can't say I love God if I will not fulfill the role of a man. A mother cannot say she loves God if she's not willing to fulfill that role. Think about it. And one day, let me tell you what will happen. I believe this. I believe it with all my heart. Over in Proverbs 31 and 28, you may not see it immediately because children, they're self-centered. Let's face it, they really are. And they think about themselves way more than they think about others. That doesn't make them bad or anything. That just makes them children. But there'll come a day, Mom, that boy 6'2" or whatever, and that daughter, they'll rise up and call you blessed. And you just got repaid. You just got repaid. All the toils, all the sacrifices, when you see that young man and that young woman rearing children in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord, that's payday, folks. When you see that young man and young woman taking their roles in society, that's payday. When they're able to have integrity and honesty and fulfill the commission in their life, that child will rise up and call you blessed because you didn't give up. You got weary. You got tired. You didn't have all the answers, but you didn't give up. You never, never, never gave up. Oh, this morning, that's my little burden to us this morning. Moms, you got a tremendous responsibility. I cannot explain it to you, and I know I've been trying, but never give up. Don't forget the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Paul said, I press toward the mark. Oh, this morning, may we ever want. recognize our responsibility, our duty. I know the Lord, Paul was speaking about heaven and maybe martyrdom and things of that, but in fact, sometimes mamahood, motherhood is martyrdom. I believe that sometimes. Press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And you know, one day that child, they'll rise up and call you blessed. Who knows, one day they might be preaching and quote you. Or they might be telling their children, my mama always told me. And it worked for me. And if you'll incorporate it, it'll work for you. So may I say this morning, thank God for mothers. That's obvious, you know. I wouldn't be here without one. But more than that, for that special touch that a mama has. Nothing like it, folks. Nothing like it. That lap, nothing like it. That consolation, nothing like it. That intuition that knows what that little fellow's thinking, thank God for that. Eyes in the back of their heads, oh, we're so glad God did that. They children need that, folks. They need that. They need moms a little bit suspicious of them when they're quiet over here. You know, they need that. They need moms that says, who you gonna be with? They need that. They need moms that learn a word that some people just can't hardly learn, and that word is no. They need that. They need that. They need that arm around them and said, oh, I'm so tickled at you. You did so good. Give them a big old kiss. Tell them that they're special. They need that. They need cookies. They need correction. They need moms. And this world is trying its best to take motherhood and relegate it to second class. Folks, it ought to be put right up there with the highest of vocations there are. Because it has more, and I am convinced of this. How many homes have been held together because of a mother? If you said how many homes have been held together because of a father and how many because of a mother, men, I think we would lose. I think we'd lose. Thank God for motherhood today. You pray for me.